Dobry wieczór Państwu. Bardzo mi miło Państwa powitać w tym kościele. I dzisiaj wieczorem chciałabym się podzielić tym, znaczy historią, w jaki sposób odnalazłam Boga w swoim życiu i w jaki sposób Bóg odnalazł mnie. I będę to mówić po angielsku, ale chciałam po prostu Państwa na początku powitać bardzo serdecznie. So back to English now. First of all, I wanted to say thank you very much to Reverend Brown for allowing me to come here and share with you my testimony. It's just wonderful, wonderful privilege for me to be able to just say just wonderful things that God has done in my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And I want to talk about His light and about His salvation in my own life. I come from the country of Poland, it's a very, very big country. There's 40 million Polish people living there, and of course we speak Polish language. It's not easy to be able to switch from one language to another. Even as I was coming up here, I was wondering, will I remember everything in Polish? But once you start to speak, it really comes back to you. But I remember when Colin, many, many years ago, he came over to Poland, and he wanted to talk to my father, and he wanted to learn some Polish from my brother, and he wanted to go to my father and ask him for his daughter's hand in marriage. And it was quite an interesting story, because my brother taught him, it was all behind my back, and my brother told him how exactly to say it in Polish. And then we had Last Supper before Colin flew back to Northern Ireland, and Colin stood up. And first of all, he said, he wanted to say, please, sir, can I have the hand of your daughter in marriage? And to say please in Polish, we have to say proszę. But Colin said proszę. It's a very, very small difference, proszę and proszę. But instead of please, he actually said pig. So that was very good to start with. And then he wanted to say, can I have the hand of your daughter in marriage? And to say daughter, you have to say córka, but Colin said turkey. So he said altogether, pig, can I have the hand of your turkey in marriage? He never even said the word please. But of course, my dad understood and he he agreed. And then Colin wanted to ask me to marry him. And I answered him in Polish and I said no. But in Polish, the word no actually means yes. So Colin was all confused because I didn't agree to marry him, but I was all like happy, so he was wondering what I meant. But we got it cleared very, very quickly. But I hope I'll be able to speak clear English tonight. As I said, I was brought up in Poland. Poland is a very beautiful country. It also is a very, very strong Roman Catholic country. About 97% of the country is Roman Catholic people, and to be honest with you, whenever I was growing up, I never knew anything different. I grew up in a Roman Catholic family myself, and I just didn't even realize there were any other religions in my country. Of course, as typical Roman Catholic family, we would always go to the Mass on Sunday. We would be sent to... first of all, I was baptized as a little girl. Then, in the age of 7, I had to go through a Holy Communion. That was the time in child's life when you have to go through your first confession. You have to go to the priest and confess your sins. So we had to be prepared for that. And we started to go to religion classes. They were run by the priest. And the priest was teaching us all the different dogmas of the church. And, for example, whenever he was preparing us for confessing our sin, he was teaching us that there's a few different types of sins, that there is heavy sin and a light sin. And he was teaching us that the heavy sin is if you break one of the Ten Commandments. And then if you die after breaking one of those commandments, that means that you will go straight to hell. But he was also teaching us that you can also commit light sin, which is, for example, telling a lie or being disobedient to your mom and dad, or, you know, things like that. And if you die after committing those sins, and if you will not confess it to the priest, he was teaching us that you would go to the purgatory. And in purgatory, you would have to wait so many years, maybe 20 years, maybe 200 years, in order to get to heaven. He also was teaching us that, for example, if you die and if you go to purgatory, your family that is still here on earth can pray for you and also can pay the priest, and the priest can have a mass and pray for your soul, and that will help you to get to heaven quicker. So these were the type of teachings we were getting in the church, and we really believed that. We absolutely had no questions about it. We never questioned it. That was just something that we took for granted. And then in the age of 7, I went for the first time to the priest and confessed my sins. Very early, in my early teenage years, I actually started to be very interested in a lot of different things that were going on in the church. And I started to go to different camps that were run by the church. I started to help with my friends, to some elderly people through the church as well. We also started to go to pilgrimages, when for the whole week you walk on feet for so many miles, like maybe 10, 15 miles every day, and the whole time you say your prayers, rosaries, and sing hymns. And in the end of that pilgrimage, you get to the place which is very much worshipped. It's a monastery, it's a big, massive church, and that's where you have a big mass to conclude your, to finish your pilgrimage. And it's a place that is famous for different miracles. It's also a place that is very, there's lots of pictures of Mary, lots of figures of Mary, and people go there to worship Mary mainly. It's actually a very, very big thing in Poland too. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, she's very, very worshipped. She is even very often put first before God, before Jesus Christ. She is called a queen of Poland and the mother of Poland. Even at the time of communism, maybe you remember from the news, there was a man called Lech Wałęsa. He freed Poland from communism and became a first president after that. Anytime he was on the media or in the public or meeting some important officials from all over the world, he always had a badge here on his suit, and it was always a picture of Mary. So that just shows you how it's so strong, strongly rooted in Poland. I was always very, very interested in things that were going on in the church. I believe that I was searching for God in some ways when I was a teenager. Even I remember when I was passing exams to the college, the exams were very, very difficult. It was a very difficult college to get into. And I remember even doubting very much that I'm ever going to pass those exams. And I thought, well, I remember even saying to my friend that if I'll not pass those exams, I might even consider becoming a nun. I was even imagining myself being locked in the monastery for the rest of my life and just living there as a nun. And I thought that would be fantastic. Just you put your life away and you spend the rest of your life. There's so much time with God in prayer time, in hymns and rosaries and all those things. But I passed exams and I was able to get into that college. And I was telling that story actually many, many years later to Colin. And he actually said, well, I'm glad you didn't become a nun, because I wouldn't tolerate none of this and none of that. During those times, Poland was under very strong strictures of communism, and communism is a very, it's a type of politics and government that tries to take away spirituality away from people. For example, people that would work for government were not allowed to go to any church, and also their families, the wife, the children, were not allowed to go to the church at all. And during those times, also there was a law in Poland that you were not allowed to build a church on a Polish ground. And, you know, there was a very interesting story. There was a group of Christian people, a very small group of people, and what they've done, they really wanted to build a little church to be able to meet there and worship. And what they did, they built a bridge, a wooden bridge over the small river. And on that bridge, they built a small wooden church. And that church is still there in Poland. I have a photograph of it somewhere at home. And it's just a lovely testimony, you know, how people came up with this idea and were able to build the church in spite of the law. But also during those times, it was quite common for young people, for different types of people, to protest against the situation, the political situation. And one of the ways to do that was there was a church. It was a Catholic church, and they had a mass every morning from 7 o'clock in the morning until 8, and it was for mainly for students, for young people. And it was from Monday to Friday. So before going to school or to your university, you were able to go there at 7 o'clock and worship in the Mass. And that was a very famous place for young people to go there and in this way protest against the situation. So I started to go there because some of my friends were going there and I also wanted to go there. And it was during those Masses, from time to time we were singing different choruses, and there was one particular chorus that caught my attention. Every time that I heard the music and I knew that this chorus was coming on, I was like, almost felt as if I was just really still in my heart, and I really couldn't wait until we started to sing it. And I could actually never sing the words. I always was just listening very intensively to the words of the chorus. Even one time I remember we started to sing it and I just started to cry. I think you know this chorus probably because it's in the chorus books. The words of the chorus goes like this: Jesus, name above all names, blessed Redeemer and glorious Father, Emmanuel, God is with us, beautiful Savior and living Word. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, the word Savior is mentioned. Jesus Christ is described as Savior. But we never ever heard in the Roman Catholic Church how he can become your Savior or how you can be saved. And you know, that really, really puzzled me, because every time we sang this chorus, I always thought, what does it really mean? Why does it say here Jesus is a name above all names? You know, when I was going to that church, quite often I was there because of the political situation. I was there also because my family, my mom and dad divorced, and I was a little bit sort of mixed up in my own life, and I was searching for some answers to life quite often outside of my own home. And I was there also because my friends were there. But I was never really there because I was there, you know, for God, to find God or talk to God. And I thought, who is God? Why is he so important? Why is he name above all names? What does it mean that he is a Savior? And what does it mean that he is a living Word? One time I was, again, we were singing that chorus and I was crying, and I remember just quietly in my own heart, I said a little prayer. I just said, God, if you are there somewhere, if at all you exist, please show me what these words mean. And please show me whether they're true or not. And that was just a short little simple prayer. That's all I could say. And I believe now, looking back, that God heard the simple prayer. I don't know why, because there's 40 million Polish people there in my country, but he heard that little prayer. What I didn't realize was that in order to find God, I was going to go through many, many years of long search, a very, very difficult time looking for him, and Those years were times of depression, times of tears, the times when I knew that somewhere, that the years whenever I felt that I'm in a dark tunnel and somewhere in the end of that tunnel there's a light. And very often during those times I knew that definitely there was a light in the end of that tunnel, but I just didn't know how to find that light and what that light was. It was very interesting because here I was very involved in going to the church, you know, getting up 5:30 in the morning, trying to catch the bus, to that church, going to those masses. My parents thought I was a little bit too devout, going too often to the church. They thought it was too much. They couldn't understand it. I was going to the camps. I was involved in so many different things. But suddenly, I started very slowly, just week after week and month after month, I started to lose interest in those things. And eventually, after about a year, I was going to the church, and I wasn't getting anything out of it. I felt there's just nothing there for me. And eventually, it was a difficult time in my life, and it was time when I was rebelling a lot against my home, against we were brought up with my dad and my stepmother, and because of that situation, I was rebelling against them, and I was trying to make my own decisions. And I just made the decision of leaving the Catholic Church. Eventually, my family accepted it, but they just said simply, Joanna, you better find something in your life, because it's a very lonely life if you have nothing to believe or nothing to aim for. And I was happy enough at that time to leave the church, but very, very soon I found that there's this big void in my heart and in my life. It was really, really hard, but I started to do lots of different things to fill this void, to fill this gap. One of the things I started to do was I started to be very interested in horoscopes, astrology, you know, following the stars and being able to read different things about your future, going to those people that can tell the future for you. Even things like spiritism, which is, you know, calling the spirits of the dead people and things like that. It was all very, very strange. But at that time, I thought it was very interesting. And at that time, I thought that will give me the answers that I was looking for about this life, what this life is all about and why we are here, what we are living for. I thought that once I'll know something about my future, I'll be all sorted, I'll be, you know, more peaceful and everything will be fine. But you know, that never brought a peace into my searching soul. It gave me maybe excitement for a little moment, but that was it. Again, the next day, I was waking up in the morning and I felt like not getting up from bed because I felt there's nothing there in that day to live for. And in the meantime, I went to art university, and the people that I was studying with were, I knew them very, really well because we went to the same college, art college together, and then art university. And halfway through university, or sometime, you know, through halfway or in my third or fourth year of university, I noticed something changed about this small group of people I knew for so many years. They started to meet together and they started to go to this little room in the university, and they always went there for some time, and every time they came out they were just so content, so happy, so peaceful. I just knew there was something different about them. Also, at some stage we were doing this big project together. The university asked our group to paint the big murals in part of the university, and it was a big job, required many, many weeks of work. And we spent a lot of time together. And very often as we were working together, we would talk about different subjects. And I noticed that those friends, that almost any subject we touched, they always brought the name of God into that conversation. Now that was something very, very strange in Poland because, for example, I noticed here in Northern Ireland, I find it quite easy to talk about the Lord. It's God can be quite often a part of conversations. In Poland, you never ever talk about God. Even if you are like very, very devout Roman Catholic person, it just doesn't happen. You don't really talk about God. And so that was very strange. And one of the people in that group was a boy called Martin. And Martin just lived around the corner from my house. So we always were on the same bus home whenever we were coming back from university. And one day we were on the bus, and I just asked Martin, I said, Martin, tell me this. What is going on here? I noticed there's something totally different about you. There's something changed in your life. I notice you and a few other people are getting together for some sort of meetings or some, I'm not sure what it is. And what is happening there? What is going on? And Martin just put a hand in his pocket and he took a little book like this one, even maybe a little bit smaller one. And then he opened it and he said, well, whenever we get together, we just study the living word of God and just have a bit of time of prayer. And you know, that all sounded really strange. It sounded like a foreign language almost to me. First of all, I never had a Bible. I never saw a Bible before. And whenever he opened it, I didn't even know it was a Bible. But what I noticed was every single line, every single verse that was there in that little book was underlined or highlighted with color, different colors. And the whole page was just really colorful, all marked, different things, little things written all around the page. And you know, I read many, many books before that. I always loved reading, and because I was searching for something in life, I was reading a lot of philosophies, and I actually forgot to mention that I almost became a Buddhist. I almost started to worship as a Buddhist believer because I was reading lots of philosophies and about Oriental religions, about Buddhist religions, and I always loved reading, but I've never, ever before that. So a book that would be, all of a sudden I saw a book that is so important to someone. And right away that really caught my attention, and I said to Martin, I said, what is it? Also, another thing, he said that whenever they get together with a group of people, they study the living word of God. And right away I thought, I heard that somewhere before, the living word. And you know, that took me back to that little chorus that we sang in the Catholic Church. Emmanuel, God is with us, beautiful Savior and living word. And you know, I really wanted to see what this living word of God was. And I just said to him, you know, I said, I didn't really want to show that I'm really curious and everything, but I just said to Martin, I said, you know, I'm writing this project. We had this subject about the theory of culture or something like that. And, you know, I said to him, I'm writing this project and I need a lot of different, you know, materials. And I really, I'm looking for something fresh and something new. And can you tell me something about the Bible? Can you, you know, show me what's in it? Maybe I'll be able to find something interesting and that would be, you know, that I could use for my project. And of course, Martin knew right from the start. He told me later, many, you know, some years later, that he could see in my eyes and in my voice that I was searching, desperately searching for something in life. And of course, right away he agreed. And from time to time we would meet, and he was able to present the Bible or read the Bible to me, read different chapters. And you know, that was the first time ever in my life I heard the gospel. I was able to buy myself a Bible eventually, and Martin just very patiently, he was going over different things that Jesus Christ was teaching. I always knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross, because in the Catholic Church you always see, that you see a lot of figures everywhere, and there's always in the center of the church, there's a cross with the Jesus Christ hanging on it. And so you're very familiar with it, but that was the first time, whenever Martin was reading the Bible to me and explaining it, that was the first time I've ever heard that Jesus Christ actually died for my sin. And he came to this world that I could be freed from my sin. Jesus Christ came to this world that he could die on the cross. And if I believe in him, if I trust him with my own life, if I ask him for forgiveness, he would take away my sin and he would set me free, and I would belong to him. And also, if I would finish my life here on earth and if I die, I will go to heaven to spend the rest of the eternity with the Lord. I was never taught those things before. But you know, at the beginning it was, to me it was just, it sounded a little bit too simple. I always was used to very complicated philosophies and astrologies and all different things, and quite complex Buddhist religion as well that I took interest some years before that. And all of a sudden, when I heard that, I thought, no, that's a little bit too simple. That couldn't really give you all the answers for your life. And it was very interesting because when Martin was coming to our house, we were sitting around the table, and there was Martin sitting on one side of the table, just with one little book. And he always had that little book here on beside him open, and always looked at that book for any questions I had. And on the other side of the table, I was sitting there, and I was bringing all different books from my library, from just all different things. And every time he said something, and I said, no, but in that book it says something different. Or in the other book, there's a totally different point of view. And it was kind of like a struggle. For months and months, we were just kind of I always was rejecting, things that he was saying. And my heart was really, really stubborn and just completely closed to the gospel. What I didn't know was that Martin was praying for me, and also he asked a group of his friends to pray for me. And what I didn't know was that God actually started to work in my life and in my heart. Slowly, the Lord started to open my heart. And as I said, I bought myself a Bible in the meantime, and I started to read it also at home. And I remember there was one... the Lord started to really soften me. And I started to ask all different questions, about God. Does he exist at all? And was Jesus Christ, was it not like a made-up story for people to be better? And of course, every time, Martin was finding different verses for that in the Bible. I was also very asking a lot of questions about worshipping Mary, because that was something I was very familiar with. And eventually, it all started to make sense, And there was one morning, it was Easter Saturday of the year 1993, and I remember just waking up. The Bible was sitting on the side of my bed, and I can't really say what I was reading that day. It was that long ago, but I just remember that all of a sudden, it just really came together. It started to make sense, and I, with my whole heart, I just started to believe that it was true. That Jesus Christ truly came, that he was the Son of God, and truly came to this earth as a man. And he died on the cross, and then he rose again on the third day. And I started to feel this pressing thing in my heart that I really, really need to give my life to him. I couldn't even understand why. All I felt that morning was that I need to ask him to forgive me my sin. And I can't put it off any longer. And I remember that morning I phoned Martin, and I asked him to come to my house quickly. And he came to my house. It just took him a few minutes, but the whole way, as he was walking, he was praying that the devil wouldn't try to snatch me away, and that now that I'm on the trying to get right with God. And Martin came to my house, and I explained to him that I just said to him, look, I don't understand everything, but I just know for sure that I need to ask Lord Jesus Christ into my life. And I know that I cannot put it off any longer, even 1 minute or 1 hour longer. And we bowed down on our knees, and we prayed. Martin prayed first, and then I just said a simple prayer. I didn't even know how to pray, but I just simply said, please, Lord, forgive me for my stubbornness, and for my sinful nature, and for all my sins. And please take those sins away, and please come into my life and become my Lord and my teacher and my guide and my master and the name above all names. For so many years I was longing for all those difficult times, the times of depression and the times of searching. I always dreamed and longed for having a master, a teacher, somebody that I could follow, somebody that could show me the difference between right and wrong, somebody that could take me by my hand and just lead me through this life. That morning, I found that teacher and that master. I knew that with my heart. So many times I tried different things. My parents always thought, well, not again, something different. And they were used again that every now and then I could come up with something new. But every time I tried something new, I knew in my heart it's not what I was looking for. That morning, I found a peace in God. I knew 100% that I don't need to look anymore for anything else, because everything I was looking for I found. I knew that I came finally to the end of that dark tunnel, and I found that light in the end of that tunnel. There was a lovely hymn we were singing just a moment ago, and it says, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart." And then it says also, "I have ceased from my wandering and going astray, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus Christ came to my life." And that's exactly what has happened. Since that moment, I can just continue on with the hymn. "I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure." You know, always until that moment, I never had anything that was sure in my life. Even my own family was broken. My mom and dad were no longer together. I felt there's nothing sure in this life. But since Christ came into my life, I knew that I was standing on the solid ground, and I had absolutely no doubts about it. And as at the end of the hymn continues, "And no dark cloud or doubt now my pathway obscures since Jesus came into my heart. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, and the gates of the city beyond I can see since Jesus came into my life." And in the last verse, "I shall go there to dwell in that city, I know, and I am happy, so happy as onward I go since Jesus Christ came to my life." Ever since I became a Christian, I had this assurance that God is with me, that He's walking side by side with me, that He's protecting me, that He's answering my prayers, and I knew that one day I'm going to go to heaven and be with Him for the whole eternity. If you ask any Roman Catholic person, where will you go after you die? They cannot honestly tell. They always hope that they will go to purgatory, so eventually they can go to heaven. None of them can be sure, can have that assurance of going there. And that moment really brought a lot of stability in my life. I was depressed. Those times were finished. Those 10 long years of searching and looking were finished. Those years I could describe with the verse from Psalm 118, "The Lord had chastened me sore, but He has not given me over unto death." I was able to find the gospel and through the word of God, and it was wonderful. There's a lovely verse in John chapter 5 where it says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." I started to go to a Baptist church. That was the church that my friends told me, I didn't even realize that the church was there in my city. It was very interesting because my brother got married in a big Roman Catholic church, and that church was at this little square, and right on the other side of that square was this little Baptist church. And even when I went to my brother's wedding and when I went to that church, I never knew that there was a little Christian church right across, just literally half a minute walk from that church. But there I was able to go there, and I started to go to Bible studies, and I was able to come to the just on Sunday to the church, and everybody were bringing the Bibles, and it was just lovely to be able to worship the Lord and learn so much more about Him. Also, very, very soon, I discovered that the Lord gives us so many wonderful promises, and also He's the Lord that answers our prayers. One of the promises that He gave me was from John chapter 4 and verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Also, the Lord showed me that He really answers our prayers. I became a Christian at Easter time. It was April, I think it was April of the year 1993. And I was about 24 years old at that time. And I started around that time. I'm sure many of you start to think, you know, the thoughts come to your mind that you would love someday to meet the man of your life and get married. And that was something that started to be on my mind. And I started to, because I only knew a very handful of Christian people, and I thought, how am I going to find a Christian man that I could marry someday. And you know, I just thought, well, I'll just pray about it. And if the Lord has a man like that for me somewhere, I just pray that He would bring him over, that He would bring him to me. And if it's not meant to be, I'll just not marry. And you know, I just started to pray about it. And it was only a few months later, in September time, when I was out in the cafe with my friend, and we were sitting in this cafe, and then I noticed that across the cafe there was this man with big brown eyes, and he was just staring, and those big brown eyes were just staring at me. But I remember going to the counter to get some orange juice, and when I got the juice, I turned around and I wanted to go back to my table. And I noticed that this man with the brown eyes, he's just got up and he's walking towards me. And I didn't know what to do, but he just came over and started to speak English. And he just said, "Excuse me, do you speak English?" So I was able to answer, and then we started to talk. And then we sort of got together and we were friends and all, started to talk about my city, and I was always really proud of my city because it was so beautiful, old medieval city, and there were so many beautiful places. There's also a very interesting place there called Auschwitz, where many Jews were killed by the Germans, millions of Jews literally. And Colin and his friends wanted to go to that place the next day, and they just didn't know how to get there and how to organize the trip, and I felt really sorry for them. So we arranged to meet the next day, and eventually we spent a little bit of time together that next following day, and we started to sort of like each other, and a little bit of a chemistry started to. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I think a lot of people are smiling, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. But we exchanged addresses, and Colin left Poland, and you know, whenever he left Poland, deep down in my heart, I just had this strong feeling that I met a man, that somebody that will become my husband. I just had this very, very strong feeling. But then I thought, you know, I really don't know anything about him. He told me a little bit about his family, about where he comes from. He comes from some country called Northern Ireland. I never knew where it was. I thought it was some place where Vikings come from. And, you know, I didn't really know very much more about him. But then I got a card on the post, and then another card and the letter. And in that letter, it was the most beautiful letter, I must say, now I've ever received. I'll not tell you what was at the beginning or at the end. But in the middle of that letter, Colin just started to say how, when he was 17 years old, how he found something very precious, how he found the Lord, how he became a born-again Christian. And ever since that, what the Lord means to him, and how he loves going to the church, and how he loves Sundays because it's the time to go to the church to study the Word of God. You know, it was just like a music to my ears. I couldn't believe it, that actually this person that I met and I really liked so much, that he is a Christian. And I felt as if it was the Lord's plan somehow for that it happened, that I met him. And then I was able to write back to him that I was able to tell him my own story too, and it was just so lovely to be able to write that I was a Christian too and how I found the Lord. And I don't know why, but in the end of the letter I said, and ever since I became a Christian, I was praying that the Lord would send a man into my life. And you know, whenever Colin received that letter, he apparently shouted in his house, "Praise the Lord, I'm your man." But eventually, after many, many letters and few exchanged visits, me going to meet Colin's family, and then Colin going to meet my family in Poland, eventually we started to make wedding plans, and then we got married. And that is just a lovely example how the Lord answered my prayers. I became a Christian, and I only knew just a few people, very few Christian people, just a few of my friends and few people that were going to the little church. And the Lord brought somebody 2,000 miles away. And you know, Colin came to Poland. There's 40 million people. He could meet anybody there. And we just bumped into each other in a little cafe. And the Lord just really had this whole thing planned. And I believe with my whole heart that it was just all planned by him, and I was so grateful that God answered my prayers. I just wanted to tell you one more example how, there's of course many of them, but just one more example how the Lord answers prayers. Colin, after we got married, first of all, he was working in Marks & Spencer, which was fantastic because I was really spoiled by the good food and nice clothes and everything. And then Colin started to feel very unhappy or unsatisfied, and he felt there's something more in this life than just going to work. And then he went to the Bible college. And then someday he was away. First of all, in the morning we had our time to get, of prayer together. And I don't know why, but very specifically that morning we asked Lord to protect us. I don't know why, we just came up in the prayer. We just said, Lord, please be with us. Protect us this day. Bring us home safely. And that evening, Colin went to Hillsborough Pre-Presbyterian Church to take a youth meeting there. And I stayed at home, and we had an Alsatian dog, and I took him for a walk that evening. And I took that dog many, many times for a walk. I let him loose, and he was always fine, just always very obedient. And that evening, the dog jumped over the fence, and he ran into the field with many sheep. And I noticed that he started to chase the sheep. And I knew that if the sheep runs too fast, the sheep can get a heart attack and can die very quickly. So I didn't want that to happen, so I jumped over the fence and I started to run after my dog. But I heard, at the same moment, I heard something behind me, like a noise. And I just slightly turned my head, but I didn't even have time to turn my head fully to see what's happening. But I felt something is hitting me against my ribs. And it was actually a bull on that field and some cows. And the bull knocked me down on the floor. I was just there, lying in the mud, in this muddy field. And the cows actually started to tramp all over me. You know, very often we see the cows in the field and they seem like a small, you know, like maybe big animals, but not really that big. But whenever you actually have the body of a cow right above you, it's very difficult even to describe. It's unbelievable. It's very heavy and it's so big. You know, it all lasted a few seconds, and I didn't know. I was so shocked that I didn't even know what's going on. But eventually, the cows and the bull stopped, and I tried as gently as I could pull myself together so I wouldn't disturb them anymore, and tried to find the dog and get into the fields. It was actually a very long process, but I tried to cut it as short as possible. And eventually, we got together with the dog. We got onto the road safely, and as I started to walk towards home. First of all, I realized that I lost the keys to the house somewhere in that field, but that didn't matter. I just was happy enough just to walk along that road. But, you know, all of a sudden I realized that not one bone in my body is broken. I felt very, very sore, very bruised, but I felt I was all together and nothing happened. Nothing really happened to me. And, you know, I started to cry, but the tears were maybe a little bit out of shock, but also I started to just feel like there were tears of joy and thankfulness. And I started to thank the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer in the morning. You know, we prayed that morning, Lord, bring us home safely, protect us. And he did that in such a dangerous situation. Colin's family, a lot of people in Colin's family are farmers, and they told me later that many people died or were very badly injured by the bull or by cows. And that really was a very dangerous situation. But I knew the Lord answered that prayer again, as he always does. And I'm just very thankful to the Lord that he saved me, that he is the God of my life, that he's my teacher, my savior, my guide, that he's taking me by my hand. He's leading me through my life. He shows me the difference between right and wrong. It doesn't mean sometimes I do wrong, but I ask him continually for forgiveness, and but I know he's there. I know he is the name above all names. He is a precious redeemer. And, you know, even with having my family broken, I felt that I found this father that will never leave me nor forsake me. I just want to finish my testimony with a few verses from Psalm 116 that would just sum up my testimony. In Psalm 116 it says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he had inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our Lord is merciful. Our Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope that if there is someone here tonight that didn't find that Lord and that Savior, and that even tonight you would just trust him as your Savior, because it's the best thing that can happen. It was the best thing that happened in my own life. Thank you very much.